Jay Pizzy, Mosier on the beat. Look at my team, ay. Look at the ring, whoa. See what I mean, ay. You see what I mean? Look at my team, look at the ring, everything. This is a dream, all but a dream. This ain't a dream, I am a fiend for the cream, go. DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
See, I calculate. Yeah, y'all just palpitate. Whoa, if you don't calculate, get it? Get it? Calculate. Lady Justice is illustrious. I just love this. I can put this in this function and it turns up into something. And that something came from nothing. And I sold it for a button. Now I got this lovely lump sum. Guess I'll burn these bumps like buzzing, bro.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
This ain't a dream, I am a fiend.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. This is episode... Izzy always cringes when I do the intro. This is episode number 202. You've made it. This is probably the best episode we've ever recorded. This is the greatest and best Dynasty podcast in the world. Tribute. Did you guys know that?
What is this, according to like Forbes or something?
No, it's just like a long time ago, me and my brother were hitchhiking down a long lonesome road and we just came across a shiny demon and he told us this was the best Dynasty podcast in the world.
Sounds familiar.
Well, it's why I came back, for being honest.
It's the whole reason. And the three first that we paid for you, or four, three?
It was three, but you know, honestly, like the minor league baseball thing just wasn't working out for me.
I like, just to build up the lore of things, we add a first every time we tell the story.
Oh, I like that. Okay, four first this time.
So for the ones that haven't heard it, Waylon's with the Dynasty Nerds, and we were just kind of chatting with our good buddy Rich Dotson, and he was expecting a league payment. We have a league that's just Dynasty Nerds and Dynasty Trade Calculator people. And he said, everybody from the Nerds has paid, but only Waylon and Hurley from Dynasty Trade Calculator have paid. And I'm like, oh, sweet. Waylon's on our team now. And he's like, oh, yeah, we'll trade him to you. And I'm like, all right, four firsts. And he, you know, it was a handshake deal, and we took Waylon. So Waylon is back. The rest is history.
I go where the money's at.
Five firsts.
I go where the money's at. Yeah. I'm just like Aaron Jones. I go where the money's at.
Oh my god, a perfect segue. By the way, I'm the host, John Paul Hurley, also hosting Izzy Elkafoss, the Pharaoh of Fantasy, Nicholas Whalen. You don't have any cool little gimmicky nicknames like Izzy, do you?
I'm not cool.
You just bring that. You bring the heat, man. Like, you don't need a nickname, you don't need a gimmick.
Yeah, I the only reason I'm back is just so me and Izzy can argue more. You know, honestly, for the amount of time that I was gone, that's the one thing, and Izzy can attest to this too, that people always said, like, oh, I miss you and Izzy just going at it for like, you know, every episode, basically.
Yep. It's funny because it's a lot of people don't like it, but a lot of people do like it.
And the thing is we 100% genuinely believe what we're saying, and people think we don't like each other, but we're actually really good friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember in the early episodes when we did like a segment called Devil's Advocate? In order to try to like drum up some more drama between you guys.
Yeah, that's not needed. That's just, it's natural now.
No, now it's just natural. I think that's what spawned all of the debate, but here we are. So Nick Whalen, Izzy Elkafoss joining me. Here we go. Let's go. Starting things off, we got a little bit of hot Dynasty news today. This is hot. It's really hot.
Like Mims?
Aaron Jones returns to Green Bay on a brand new contract. I'm pretty bummed. I'm going to start with Izzy, because Waylon, you always think that I pick you first for everything. But Izzy, how does this make you feel inside?
It's tough. This is why I don't trade between January and April. It's so hard. Even the things that seem obvious just aren't. And I felt like this was the most obvious. You look at all of the things that work in AJ Dillon's favor here, and you would think that this would be a no-brainer where Aaron Jones walks. And at the very worst, Jamal Williams is re-signed on cheap. Packers have a tough cap situation. They drafted A.J. Dillon in the second round. He performed well in his limited minutes that he got. limited snaps that he got. They could be using that money to surround Aaron Rodgers with other pieces. And all of that kind of goes out the window, and they just re-sign Aaron Jones for $12 million a year. I mean, he's 26 years old as well for 4 years. And it's got to be a like back-heavy contract. And I don't know. It sucks. I think we talked about it on the pod. Nick brought it up. It's, you know, I didn't realize Jamal Williams was gone. So I put out a bunch of offers and none of them really got accepted, which I guess I'm grateful for now. But everything was laid out perfectly for it to be an A.J. Dillon and maybe Jamal Williams or another player that they bring in for cheap type backfield. And it just didn't work out that way. And this is why we can't really confidently say, well, I'm going to trade for this player because I like the situation or I like this or that. It's so random, and you just can't project for it. So I'd rather, and this will kind of go into our trade segment, strategy segment, I'd rather know where the chips are falling as opposed to, I feel like I'm a good enough dynasty player to where when the chips fall, I can basically take advantage of that. Versus the exact opposite, where it's completely random and I don't have any control over, not control, but I don't have any accurate foresight to be able to say, yep, this is what's going to happen. And I think AJ Dillon's going to be the guy, or I think X, Y, and Z will be the guy. That's a crapshoot to me. So I'd rather stay out of the crapshoot and wait for the opportunity for me to actually execute on a plan.
I was going to say foreskin, but I think foresight was the right word.
Both are accurate.
Waylon, what do you think, man? Like, this is, we just got done talking last episode about AJ Dillon and how we basically all three were relatively enamored with him as a buy target. What do you think about this news?
Well, first off, as a Bears fan that lives in Wisconsin, I just laughed because Green Bay clearly has no idea how to build a team. And they've essentially drafted backups at all three positions, whether you like, you know, Joseph Diagara, however you say his name, is a Kyle Juszczyk type. Maybe he could become that, even though they spent a third on Sternberger and Tonyan, you know, stepped up. But you have two backups, and here's the problem from a team-building perspective. You know, when you have really good players, you have to pay them, and then you have to let people go, etc. Green Bay has a hole at corner now. They have to let Kevin King go, and people are like, oh, that's a good thing. Okay, sure. Who are you going to replace him with? Josh Jackson's been a bust. They literally have no one there to fill that role. They have to sign somebody. You know how you sign someone? You have money. You don't pay Aaron Jones or other guys, but they did. So now they can't sign anybody that's worth anything. Now they have to hope someone falls that late in the draft and can start day one. Maybe, maybe not. I think that's a really tough thing with a championship team. Plus, they lost a top five all-pro center in Corey Linsley. They also cut Rick Wagner. Remember the tackles and how many sacks Tampa had in that game? And they're like, man, the tackles, offensive line, that's the issue. David Bakhtiari tore his ACL. He's not coming back right away. So what do they have to do? Sign somebody. Oh, wait, now they don't have money for that. They have to draft somebody. Wait, they only have one first. Like, this is the issue with spending a first on a quarterback and a running back and now re-signing the running back, which it would have made more sense if they let Jones go. I'd have been like, okay, stupid quarterback thing. This makes sense. But they're not building a team. They're like trying to keep all the pieces together, but you're already losing pieces. And you're like, well, maybe we can just use some duct tape and it might be okay again. Like they're going to be a worse team next year, 100% for sure. Aaron Rodgers can't be a Superman again by pure odds. And think of injuries. They're a thin team. They have holes. And even if they brought the same team back last year, there were holes in it. So it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. In terms of fantasy, it's not going to be good. AJ Dillon is better than Jamal Williams. People didn't like how Aaron Jones didn't get enough touches, even some last year. I was a little surprised because the last game we saw Aaron Jones, he fumbled twice in that championship game. And part of that may have cost him, honestly. He caught that crossing pattern, fumbled. Devin White picked it up, got it inside the 10. That was the first touchdown of the second half. So, you know, they're going to be lessened. I want to say they're going to eat into each other. He's a good player. I think that makes sense. It's probably going to be like a 2-year deal and they're probably going to cut him. That's going to be my guess after 2 years. But it just makes no sense from a team building perspective.
Yeah. And I hate to put both of you guys on the spot like this, but I have a surprise guest. Actually, this is the first time for the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast We have Aaron Rodgers on the phone just to kind of offer some insight on what the Packers may have been thinking about with the re-signing of Aaron Jones. Unfortunately, I have to step away for a little bit, so you guys are going to have to ask the question. So, Aaron Rodgers, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Sounded like him. How's Danica? Where did she go?
I've been split up with her for a long time, you idiot.
Okay. Anyways, okay, Aaron, let me ask you a question then if we're going down this route.
All right.
Do you like what's happening in Green Bay?
You know, I didn't at first, but now I like it a little bit more.
Is he? He's not from Texas.
aren't I from Alabama? Hold on, let me Google where I'm from.
He's from California, bro.
Yes.
Oh. All right, listen, here's the deal.
No, you sound like Dale Earnhardt now.
I look like Dale Earnhardt too, don't I?
He does look like Dale Earnhardt. Do, I never thought that until right now.
All right, here's the deal. I asked LaFleur to re-sign Aaron Jones or there would be problems. I want Aaron Jones back. What can I say?
Okay, so you think this is an Aaron Rodgers thing? You think it's...
I think it's a me thing, yes.
It's a you thing, okay.
Well, but I mean, that's a problem for me too, because, you know, Aaron, like, you're good and all, but, you know, you shouldn't be dictating roster moves, especially at this point in your career. I mean, if it was up to you, they wouldn't have drafted a quarterback last year. So explain that one.
Listen, it's either two Aarons or it's no Aarons. That's what I told him. I'm not coming back if I can't have my guy. Listen, I've been watching these quarterbacks leave their teams. And I'm ready to walk away if I don't get my Aaron Jones back.
So what, now you're running the errands? Now you're running the errands? Is that how this works?
It's all about the Joneses. Yep.
Yeah,
I gotta go. I gotta go.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks.
Good, I hate you.
Hey, guys, I'm back. I had to poop.
So here's my question for you guys. Are you buying either of these players? Are you selling either? What are you doing with either of these players? As Nick puts his hands on his face.
That's a tough question.
Jones and Dylan. Like,
I think I would buy Jones, honestly. I think in terms of his pass catching, he's always had a really high rushing touchdown rate. And he's perfect for that scheme. I think he'd be someone that I would buy depending on the price. He's never really been priced as a top five dynasty running back. So if you can get him for high RB2 prices, I would totally buy him.
Should I check to see what he's going for in the calculator currently? He is currently worth even money with the 104, the 2021 104 in a Superflex league. 12 team PPR Superflex. Yeah, so like between 104, 105.
Man, I agree with, I know I can't buy him. I just can't. But he's 26 years old. Like, I'm not into it. I'm not into it. I'm out.
Yeah.
104, 105. And I don't think you're getting him for cheaper. So I think as we get closer to the draft, I think it'll be hard to get that for Aaron Jones. But at the same token, I don't see anybody selling for like 107, 108. I guess maybe during the draft, somebody might get a little overzealous. But I think people look at this and say, they just paid Aaron Jones. He's going to be the guy. And if he is the guy, then he's going to put up a lot of fantasy points. Like, there's no doubt about it.
Let me throw some stats at you. Maybe I'll convince you like I did last time, Izzy. Okay?
Mm.
So their first four seasons in the NFL, Todd Gurley had 1,229 touches. Zeke had 1,358 touches. Christian McCaffrey had, in three seasons, had 926. Aaron Jones, for his career, has 782. So he's not worn down. So I know you say 26,
yeah.
but the wear and tear isn't there with him.
It's less about his production and more about his inflexibility once he starts hitting that age 27, age 28. Like at that point, you have to just keep him. And which might not be a bad thing, but the one of the best assets on your team isn't necessarily the players, it's the flexibility of the players. Mm-hmm. If you have flexible assets, you always have a trade market for those players. So you can take advantage of opportunities. If you have an inflexible asset, your market shrinks, which reduces the value, which is why older players end up losing value because there's less demand and more supply, right? So it's just like, it's not about what I think he's going to do for the next 4 years. It's the fact that he's 26. I might as well, if he's locked in for 4 years, and it depends on the structure of the contract as well, but you might as well just wait it out and wait for he's, you know, when he turns into like Mark Ingram, late 20s, where you can get him for super cheap and then just find a different avenue for production in the meantime. It's just like you're buying at the absolute worst point in his career where he just got paid and everybody thinks he's the guy, and now everybody's going to be less likely to sell him for a discount, and more likely to be asking for that 105 range. And then you're left deciding, well, do I take the chance on an ATN or a Javonte Williams, or do I hang on to Aaron Jones? I mean, what would you do? I mean, it's a reasonable thought to say, we have a very like gambling mentality in Dynasty. We just assume every player that you draft is going to be good. So it's like, oh, I'd rather have Javonte Williams because he's younger. Well, doesn't mean that he's going to be good. Like, yeah, he's younger, great. But is he going to put up Aaron Jones production? Like, the odds of that are not high. So it's, I don't know. Like, what would you do? Would you guys rather have Javonte Williams or an ETN, or would you rather have Aaron Jones right now?
I got this. I'm gonna go down the line, and you guys, starting with Waylon, give me a yes or no if you'd rather have Aaron Jones ahead of this rookie. So I'll just go down the line. So 12-team Superflex PPR. Waylon, would you rather have Trevor Lawrence or Aaron Jones?
T-Law.
Yeah, pretty easy. Justin Fields, Aaron Jones.
Fields.
Yeah. Quarterback, yeah.
Now we're at 103. Najee Harris, Aaron Jones.
I think Najee.
Yeah, it's a little early. I mean, I'd like to see where he goes, but yeah, I mean, I think that's the right play.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah.
So now we're 104 is about, like we said, even money with what Aaron Jones's current value is. He's like right between 104, 105. Jamar Chase or Aaron Jones?
I'm just not as sky high in Jamar Chase as other people. That's what hurts for me.
Yeah, we're pretty...
You don't got to keep him. Like, you guys aren't sky high on Aaron Jones either.
Yeah, okay, I'll take Chase for the value, then I'd flip him.
Yeah, I'd probably do the same.
This one, now it's going to get really tricky. I think it probably swings to Aaron Jones in a lot of these, but Trey Lance?
Oh, Aaron Jones.
Yeah, same. Is he?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Unless he goes like top 6 or 7 or 8, maybe.
Yeah. And this one's a little more tricky, even though he's ranked below Trey Lance. Travis Etienne, Waylon, Etienne or Aaron Jones? I would struggle with this one personally.
I'm going to go with ETN.
So I really like ETN. But I look at this. This is hard. I mean, this is where it gets tough. I don't know. Maybe.
You should see Izzy's face right now.
I don't
now,
know.
Everybody.
Yeah. It's annoying because I like ETN a lot, but I don't know how soon he's going to get drafted. Like, I just so much uncertainty. Like, I need another month, you know, before I can make a decision like this. And ETN has more trade flexibility. I'll go Aaron Jones, though, because I feel like you can still flip Aaron Jones during the season for a pretty good haul, especially if he starts out well. So I'll go Aaron Jones there. But it's okay. Very, very, very close.
I'll go ETN to break the tie. And then it gets a little bit easier. Zach Wilson. I don't want to discount him.
Nick is a Javonte Williams fan.
I know. Yeah. The next two are Zach Wilson, Javonte Williams. That's where I was going to stop because I don't think anybody else, any one of us would go Devonta Smith, Rashad Bateman ahead of him.
Right. I think I would go Wilson ahead of him just because of Superflex. And I really like Wilson. He'd be my QB2 in this class. And I think I would go Aaron Jones over Javonte Williams, even though I'm a big Williams fan. I think there's more risk with him having one great year versus we've seen Jones' production in the NFL for multiple years.
There you go. Izzy, and I'm assuming since you went Aaron Jones ahead of ETN, you'd probably go Aaron Jones ahead of...
Yeah, take him ahead of Williams. Wilson for me is close. I mean, I'd probably take Wilson, but I'd probably take Wilson ahead of ETN as well. So,
gotcha. That's kind of interesting. So like... by the way, the second segment of our podcast is going to be trade strategies. So a lot of the stuff that we're discussing now, like who we take at certain points, might actually like segue into our trade strategy discussions. But I think that's pretty good. I think that's a good understanding of what we value Aaron Jones and what we're willing to risk over it, you know. Do you want to keep going down the Aaron Jones path, or is that pretty exhaustive?
Yeah, no, that's good. Who in the calculator, who is he next to in terms of running backs, other running backs?
Guess what? In the Dynasty Trade Calculator, dynastytradecalculator.com, there is one of those cool little tools that we have. That's our dynamic ranking. So with over 800 different league settings and scoring combinations, you can pull any kind of list that you want. So that's what I'm going to do right now. Looking at Aaron Jones, he's got Joe Mixon below him at 18. Aaron Jones is the RB17. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire above him at 16. And then just slightly ahead of Clyde Edwards is Najee, Miles Sanders. So yeah, Joe Mixon, Aaron Jones, Clyde Edwards are the lump of three. They're all within like 0.6 points of each other of value.
I'm surprised. I mean, Clyde is... I'm not seeing him moved in many leagues. I think people are just holding on to him unless they get... I feel like the people that have held on to Clyde this whole time are waiting for that return. Like they're just not willing to undersell him.
I moved him. Did I tell you guys that last
week?
For
what? No, I didn't hear.
Oh, yeah.
Super.
Oh, maybe the Devy?
Yeah, Superflex. It was Trey Lance and Clyde for Kyler Murray.
Dude, Clyde's got such a sick headshot, by the way.
Yeah, see, that's a lot. I mean, I would hang on to Kyler in that situation. So it's like, I'm surprised somebody was willing to, I mean, they're valuing Clyde as a low RB1 at that point.
Right. Here's,
so you guys, I pulled up the Dynasty Trade Wire, and I got a pretty good trade. Want to see which side you take, since Izzy mentioned he hasn't seen a lot of Clyde being moved. Would you rather have Clyde or DeAndre Hopkins?
Hopkins.
It depends on my team. So Hopkins is at a point now where if you're drafting or taking Hopkins, you are basically holding on to him until he Julio Joneses it and he's like worth like a second round pick.
Julio Jones hasn't even been Julio Jones yet, though.
Yeah, he's outside. You're not getting a first-round pick for Julio.
Okay, I got you.
In most leagues at this point.
I was thinking like Dez Bryant, yeah.
No. I'm not. You can still use... Here's the thing. Julio will still be productive, but your return isn't going to justify moving him, basically.
Yeah.
So you're holding on to Hopkins until he's done, which I hate. So this really comes... But at the same token, he's a big advantage at the position. So I'd probably lean Hopkins, but yeah.
So I just wanted to kind of attest to one of your points, Izzy. You said right now, you know, people, because they re-signed, people would be sky high in Aaron Jones. I think people are going to think the other way. They're going to be like, oh man, they're so ready for A.J. Dillon. They have A.J. Dillon so stuck in their head. I think they almost forget how good Aaron Jones is. I mean, he was the RB2 2 years ago and the RB5 last year, and you just said he's priced at what, RB16 or 17 in the calculator? I mean, that's value, period. And if you know, it's a 50-50.
Well, where is he for you?
What do you mean? I would take Najee ahead of him, but I would rather have Aaron Jones than Miles Sanders, Joe Mixon.
Do you guys want me to feed you some running backs?
I'd have him over all of them.
All right, Waylon, we're doing the game with the running backs here now. Sure. So you got, I'll read a running back's name, and you got to tell me whether you'd rather have him or Aaron Jones. We'll start with let's start at 10. Because actually, this was a tweet that I saw today: Cam Akers or Aaron Jones.
Oh, for me,
it's perfect for Waylon.
I'd rather have Aaron Jones.
Yeah, it's, for me, it's pretty easy, Cam Akers.
Yeah, and the vote was like 74% for Cam Akers, but there were a number of comments that said I'd lean Aaron Jones in this. Personally, I'd go Cam Akers pretty easy, but yeah, Aaron Jones was getting more than I expected from that one, so especially comments. Antonio Gibson or Aaron Jones? I know you guys are Antonio Gibson haters. Well, not really haters, but
yeah. I mean, you can call. I mean, yeah. We're
disbelievers.
Pessimists.
You guys were skeptics. Guys were, skeptics.
Well,
yeah,
we wanted to see it proven. I think I'd go Aaron Jones again. Because we talked about this when we were ranking the running backs. I mean, 30% of his production was against Dallas last year. I want to see, and they just didn't they just lose? No, they brought back their guard, didn't they? They paid him a ton of money.
Yeah, sure.
But I just, again, same with Cam Akers. Cam Akers doesn't have a lot of receptions. Aaron Jones gets the receptions. That's the big thing here, and it's proven. Now, again, if it's only 2 or 3 years of RB1 production, but like some of these guys, you don't know if you're going to get 2 or 3 years of RB1 production in their whole career.
Yeah. I'd rather have Gibson once again. I've seen enough to where he gives me enough flexibility. I don't think he's going to put up Aaron Jones numbers, but at the same time, like, we assume that Aaron Jones, like Nick, you mentioned at the very beginning, if he was ceding carries to Jamal Williams and just snaps in general, then we got to assume that AJ Dillon's going to be more involved than Jamal Williams was, even though Jamal Williams is kind of like, he's the broke man's version of like Frank Gore. He's just like good at everything. I don't know, man. Like,
but he's still the RB5.
None of it makes sense. This is another thing. None of it makes sense to me.
No.
You have AJ Dillon. He performs well. You're already not giving Aaron Jones. You're not giving him top six workload.
No.
Like, you're paying him top six money, but you're not giving him top six workload. And then you go out and just from by all accounts, it looked like they were kind of like phasing him out towards the end of the season. And there was other players getting work. And then you go and pay him. So, like, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if he went in and was, like, 80% of the work. And I wouldn't be shocked if he came in and it was, like, 50-50 or 60-40. The contract suggests that it's going to be 80-20. Right. But I just don't know. I mean, this doesn't make sense to me. It just blows my mind.
Well, to me, like, if you pay him and it's front heavy, like you said, you run him into the ground. That's what you do. That's what Dallas did to DeMarco Murray.
It can't be.
Right? And then they let him go. I mean, here, what if this is the other thing? Again, crazy outside the box. Dillon proved himself to be solid, right? What if they trade him and they trade him for a corner? They trade him for a tackle. That's a cheap deal for 3 years for a running back.
I don't think they can take the cap penalty at this point.
That's a second round pick
for AJ Dillon.
There's not a cap penalty for him.
Yeah.
I don't think there is when you trade.
No, that won't be much of anything.
Yeah, it's like seconds and day twos or yeah.
That won't be much.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, I'd rather have Gibson just because of pure upside and just roster flexibility. So many people want Gibson.
Well, yeah, that's the other side of it. I mean, you know, if we're playing that game, then it would be probably Akers and Gibson for me. But if it's who's going to produce better over the next 2 or 3 years, I would take Aaron Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, because he even conceded carries, is he, last year, and he was RB5. So if Dillon gets all of Jamal Williams' carries,
yeah.
I mean, if you look name another running back that's been RB2 and RB5 the last 2 years that's been more disrespected than Aaron Jones. He's RB16.
You could make a case that Derrick Henry.
He's not RB16 right now.
Oh, I know. No, he's not, but he put together two great seasons and he was still being drafted. It was similar to Aaron Jones. He was in the same situation where he put together two phenomenal seasons, didn't get much respect, got the contract, and then people fell back in love with him. Or at least they gave him the opportunity to.
But now he's respected, right?
Yeah, now he is. Yes, after the contract, he's the most respected he's been, it feels like, in his career type of thing. But
right, but is Aaron Jones?
No, I think if he comes out and puts up another top five season, I think he will be. And another thing too with Aaron Jones is most of that studly production was in the front half of the season. Like, he was putting together a really nice first half of the season, and the second half of the season was pretty. I mean, I think he had like almost a 50 burger, right? He almost put a 50 points in a game.
Well, he also missed two games.
Yeah, that's true too. He did miss. I mean, was it two or three? Yeah,
he was dinged up a lot.
But if you look at here, let me look at this. Let me look this up in a league.
Look it up.
So
I mean, so in 14 games, he was RB5.
I have RB6 here. Okay, so I just put in weeks 9 through 16, second half of the season. This is after he came back from injury.
No,
he was the RB7. Yeah, Yeah, week 9. RB7. Right. He had 2 games over 20, 2 games under 10, but everything else was in the 10s and teens.
It's pretty good.
Week 1 through 7, looks like he missed 6, sorry, missed 7 and 8. So week 1 through 6, he was RB5 with a bye. So he's actually RB3 on average.
Pretty good.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, a little bit of... Anyways, we've talked a lot about Aaron Jones.
Well, let's keep going. Yeah, we got to keep going down the line here. By the way, what's really going to bake your noodles when the Packers re-sign...
Jamal Williams.
Williams.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They turn to the 49ers. You don't know who's going to start.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, so keep going. So Izzy, you said you'd go... Gibson, you kind of waffled a little bit there, but the next one, Waylon, Josh Jacobs or Aaron Jones?
Josh Jacobs had a terrible year last year. No one's talking about, and they just lost almost all of their line.
Not ideal. Izzy, what do you think? I know you're a Josh Jacobs guy, though.
Yeah, I was. I mean, he's the RB7 or 8 last season. It's pretty good for a bad season.
Pretty good for the current RB12 in value.
Yeah. I think the DOI kind of hurts him. Here's the thing with Josh Jacobs. He's not sexy. Like, nothing about him is, and he doesn't get the receptions that people want. So he's just a good football player, but he's just not sexy enough.
Not sexy.
But I take Jacobs.
We got Josh Jacobs calling in right now.
No, we're not doing that.
Izzy, he went down 0.9 yards per carry and 1.1 yards per reception. That's significant for efficiency.
Yeah, but he's getting the production, which is why he's RB12 and not much higher for considering he's a 23-year-old running back with 2 RB1 seasons. He's still the RB12.
Well, he got 12 rushing touchdowns last year. That certainly helps things, I would think.
Yeah, but yeah, that's all included. I mean, you sound like my concerns with Melvin Gordon before, but at least Josh Jacobs had a good season early in his career. You know, so it's like there's a point where age and volume, but we've seen the efficiency potential. Like, he could put it together to where I think in his rookie season, we were just missing the receptions. In his second season, it started to kind of show that he was going to be the all around back, but then his efficiency came down. So I'd like to see another season where we can get a full Josh Jacobs season and see if he actually gets utilizing the passing game, and if his efficiency goes up, and then if he still struggles, then I'm out. But for now, I think there's enough there to justify him being the RB12, and there is some upside there.
You know who it's similar to right now for him? It's Joe Mixon. Same thing. It's like one efficiency year, and people want to believe, and then Joe Mixon just hasn't done it again. But people want to.
Has Joe Mixon ever been efficient?
I think he had 1 year. I'll look it up as we go.
No, but yeah, he's never been.
I don't think he's.
And Jacobs only had 33 receptions last year. That's the other part of it. He had 4.9 yards per carry his second year, and every other year it's been 3.5, 4.1, 3.6 yards per.
Didn't he miss a ton of time in his second year?
No. He missed a lot of games last year.
Last year.
And then his yards per reception was 6.6 last year. I mean, his rookie year was the best at 9.6. So that second year, he had 43 receptions, and he hasn't had over 35 any other year. You know, it's just, it's one of those things.
You know, but here's the thing. Joe Mixon is, he's averaging less than 30 receptions a season. Let's take out the last season because he got hurt. I mean, the first two seasons, he's averaging, what is that,
35.
Yep. Yeah, and 35. So he's averaging roughly 36 receptions a season. And we consider Joe Mixon an all-around back that catches balls out of the backfield. You know, but if you look at him, there's really no, to me, 33 and 36 is nothing. I mean, Adrian Peterson has had these types of seasons.
Right.
And nobody thinks he's a pass catcher. So it's like, it just depends on how you're utilized. I think we all agree that in college, Josh Jacobs was a great, it's all about utilization. Like, there's no reason why Josh Jacobs couldn't be a guy that catches 50 to 70 passes a season. It's just the Raiders just don't get it.
Right.
They just don't get it.
But to my point, Izzy, then you look at Aaron Jones, and again, as a Bears fan, I'm like petitioning for Aaron Jones here. He's had 49 and 43 receptions each of the last 2 years. That just hits different, and that's why I think it matters.
A little bit. But anyways, I agree. I think we've exhausted the Aaron Jones. I think for him,
we're almost done. We got a couple more names here to get through really quick.
Okay.
Because we're still kind of going back and forth. So we'll just fly through these ones without any deep explanations. So Waylon, Aaron Jones or Ezekiel Elliott?
Oh, that's tough. I think I go with Zeke.
Waylon goes Zeke. Izzy, which one? I think you're an anti-Zeke guy, so I'm sure you're going Aaron Jones here.
Well, I was an anti-Zeke. Here's the thing. I was an anti-Zeke guy when he was – his value was, top three overall.
So, yeah, now he's RB13.
Yeah, I would take Zeke.
Okay. And then Waylon, Miles Sanders, Aaron Jones.
Yeah, I take Aaron Jones.
Yeah, I take Miles Sanders, but I don't like Philly. I think Miles Sanders is, I love Miles Sanders as a player, but this has been my concern with Miles Sanders since he entered the league. It's every single, Doug Peterson, I guess now it doesn't matter, but I mean, every single season, Doug Peterson's been a guy that just doesn't give the workload to his backs. Like he just doesn't give it to one. Even when he had Jamal Charles, he wasn't doing it.
So it's a good time to acquire him then, if that's what your main hangup was.
Yeah. I mean, that's true.
He's RB14, 23 years old, third season breakout candidate.
I really like Miles Sanders. I think he's a good player.
Okay, so now we get back to the territory that we were when we started. Waylon, Najee Harris, Aaron Jones.
Yeah, I take Najee. So, yep.
Izzy, you're the same, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then it goes back into Clyde Edwards-Helaire, which we already discussed, and then Aaron Jones at RB17. Yep. So I think that's pretty well-rounded.
And again, to my point, we talked about this, though. Like, if I could draft one of these running backs and flip them, I would. But if I were just looking at what they would do for 2 or 3 years, you know, it's a different story.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
For sure. So that's the Aaron Jones news. Now we're going to flip over to our next segment of the podcast and final segment of the podcast. Well, kind of like we have a small final right at the end of it. But we're going to go through a couple of our dynasty trade strategies, and I want Waylon to actually highlight some of the ones that he's prepared for us to discuss. So Waylon, maybe pick like your top like 3 to 5.
Oh, come on, man.
Because maybe what we could do is probably pepper a few of these on each of our shows or something, just to kind of like wrap things up with trade strategies, because I've got one too.
Okay. Well, I think the number one thing that helps with trade negotiations, trade strategies, is knowing other owners. And this is what makes it so tough when you have too many leagues. But if you know the other owners, you know their tendencies. We all have these biases. So you know if they prefer a big running back, if they prefer a volume running back, the stuff we were just talking about, if they prefer the pass catcher, they prefer the fast wide receiver, the big wide receiver, the receivers from, you know, Oklahoma, or avoid the ones from USC that might prefer a school. They might like studs. They might like depth. They might like from certain NFL teams. All of that stuff matters. And you figure that out over time. I have certainly in some leagues that I've rudely targeted guys. I'm like, oh, this is what they like. So then I will try and get guys and flip them to them. And I know there's certain guys they won't even touch because of that. So I think that's a huge baseline for all trade strategies.
I like that. Keeping track. And I agree. Like, so you mentioned not being in too many leagues to know your co-owners or know your opponents. What's the sweet spot for you? I'm just kind of curious as like a bonus question.
Well, I would say 6 to 8, but I mean, I take notes too. And if you don't, if you can't take notes or you're new to a league, what you can do too is I always would look back, especially on MFL, it's my favorite platform. But I look back at past trade offers, even if I wasn't in the league, or past trades, then you can see guys that they liked or didn't like. They didn't get a trade to go through. So for example, the trade that I just did where I flipped Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I went back and saw that this guy tried to offer for him during the year last year. I'm like, oh, maybe he likes him. So I packaged him together with Lance, and then that's how I got Kyler Murray.
Clever. Clever girl. You're like a Velociraptor. So let's get into some of the trade strategies so we can kind of open up like some discussion. So what's like one of your ones that you have prepared? Maybe like if you have a favorite on there, save that for the end.
Okay. I like either emailing an owner or however, and I will ask them to rank like three players, maybe three or five players that I'm trying to move. And that's either on my team or on their team. And a lot of times it's very different than how I rank them. And that's how I can find out guys I'd rather flip or I'd rather acquire.
I agree. I will start Izzy. And then you can kind of like close things off with this one. I love that one. I've used it a lot. And I'm at the point where in both my home leagues where if I do that, the other owners will simply say no, because they know that I'm collecting information. So they'll just say, no, I'm not doing that. otherwise, I love that one because it, like, I'm often surprised when somebody sends back their rankings. I'm like, holy buckets, this guy's got a completely different ranking than I have. So like, I'm going to, you know, package together something that they like. So Izzy, what do you think?
Of that trade strategy?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like it a lot. I use it quite often, especially when I'm after a player that I don't want to spook anybody. You know, I just kind of come in, hey, you know, rank these guys that are on, usually it's on their team, and I'll try to find like four or five receivers and like, you know, or running backs, might be a couple, but I'll try to find like a legitimate range of players where I will put the target, if it's like a mid-tier player, I will actually put in like the higher tier players ahead of them. So then they can actually see as they're going through. I did this with Gabe Davis in a couple different places at the end of this last season. So I took Gabe Davis. I threw him in there with like a Michael Pittman, a T. Higgins, and then a second. Oh, Terry McLaurin. Right. So it was like those four guys. And I know that T. Higgins and McLaurin will be obviously one and two. So I had like, hey, rank these guys for me. And I had him rank those four guys. And Gabe Davis was obviously last. So in a way, they write it out to where they realize like, okay, well, Gabe Davis isn't even, you know, one of my core guys. And there was another guy. It was five total and Gabe was five. So I basically acquired Gabe Davis that way, because now I'm taking is your fifth ranked receiver on this list. And it worked out. So it's like, nice. I like that. I like that strategy quite a bit.
A different spin to it.
Yeah. Yeah,
Waylon, cause I think you served that up as like a rank my players, rank these three players on my team. Right. Isn't that what you were saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I've done that both
ways.
So
Izzy, you're kind of going reverse.
Mm-hmm. I've done it both ways.
Yeah. It works both ways. Yep. I like that. It's a bi-transactual trade strategy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could just word it. Nice. You can just be like, hey, I'm trying to figure out this offer for you. You know, can you rank, and it could be any position, can you rank these three, you know, of who you value the most? Because I don't want to offer up something you don't like. You know what I mean? Something like that.
I like that.
Yep.
Very cool.
Yeah. And you know, with that kind of, this would be my trade strategy. I can kind of piggyback on that. I hate wasting my time. Like, I got too many leagues. I don't want to waste my time. If I have somebody that I want to negotiate with, I'll just say, hey, can you look at my team quick? Just anybody that you have any interest in, let me know. Who do you like on my team? And then if they list like, hopefully it lists like four or five guys, and then I'll look and say, okay, am I willing to part with any of these four or five guys? And what kind of package can I put together with these guys to acquire the player that he wants? So what a lot of people do is like, oh, I don't like that. Just send like a random offer. Well, the odds that I'm going to package an offer together where the offer I'm sending is they love all the players that I'm sending and they're not happy with the players that they're, you know, or they're, yeah, they want to get rid of is very slim. So I don't want the back and forth. Who do you like on my team? Yes, I like the. I have interest in these five guys. Okay, bang. I'll put together a package for you and see if you like the deal. If not, I move on.
I don't like the cold call either. Like the cold offers can sometimes open up discussions, but I don't like the cold call.
Yeah,
it's not super effective. It's not very efficient, is what you're getting at.
Oh, it's not. It's a waste of time.
All right. Well, let's get into number two, Waylon. What do you got for number two?
Well, that kind of leads into this next one. Is that how you can cold call is you can look at someone's team and you can say, hey, this is the weak spot on their team, and I'm going to try to help address that with whatever players that I have. I've had that work before, but here's the problem with that too, is that sometimes owners, if we're honest, we have these biases and whatever. Sometimes they're not smart. Like they can't help themselves. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, I'll be fine with Tom Brady's my dynasty quarterback. And I'm like, really? Okay. Like, you know, I mean, I guess we always think he's going to retire. He's never going to retire. He's a 4-year contract now. But like, do you know what I mean? Like I try and do that sometimes and I'm like, okay, I guess, you know, I can't help the blind apparently.
Yeah. And some people, like for me, it's so early. It's March. Like, I don't care what my roster looks like right now. I'm not interested in saying, oh man, I need a running back so bad. It's like, dude, we're still half a year away. Half a year away from needing a position, like to fill a roster. And it's like, imagine you're in September, the season kicks off. We are exactly 180-ish days away from needing the roster to be filled. So it's like, imagine preparing for March, week one of the 2021 season. Like, it's just, to me, it doesn't make sense. You got plenty of time. Wait, another trade strategy. Don't pay attention to your roster construction right now. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to it come July or August.
Well, I think the words that I use for that, Izzy, is try to gain value now, fix needs later.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I like that. Yep. Use the value to fix your needs. Maybe I'll do one, Waylon, next, just to give you a little bit of a break. I like to put names on my trade strategies. I'm only going to list off two of them on this show, but one of my favorite ones I've talked about before, and Izzy, you know that I do this quite often. It's one of my favorite ones, and I do it pretty well, but I call it trolling. And not the bad kind of trolling. It's like the phishing trolling. So like, if you were, so for instance, I was looking to move Saquon Barkley in one of my leagues. It's a league that I'm kind of like rebuilding a little bit, but I was getting close to an offer that I liked, really close. Like, we were whittling away. We're getting down to the point where it's like, you know, a third here, a fourth there would make it a done deal. Just before I get to that point, I go to my league message board or whatever platform you use to socialize with your league mates. And I let them know that I'm looking to move Saquon Barkley. I'm very transparent. I got an offer I like. If you're looking at acquiring him, now is the time to do it, because everybody knows that once a player has been traded, it's a lot harder to acquire them if you were interested in them. And it's the worst feeling in the world to move a player and then have another owner say, hey, I would have given you twice what you got for him. I wish you would have told me you were trading him. So in order to avoid that, mitigate risk, I troll. So when I get to that point, I let everybody know I'm moving Saquon. And a lot of times I'll get a sweet offer that I didn't expect from a different team that I didn't think was interested in them, and I'll capitalize on that. And sometimes you'll have like people who are competing against each other for the highest bid. It's a lot of fun.
You know, it's interesting. So I literally did that in the same trade I've talked about. So I wanted a little bit more with Kyler Murray than Clyde and Trey Lance. And I asked for it and he declined. And then in the league chat, I said, hey, I said something about like, I'm looking to move Trey Lance. And then the guy offered it again. And I said,
you put the heat on. Yep.
So it's kind of similar. So it pushed him. So, I mean, it could work that other way too.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a multifaceted strategy. Yeah, definitely. Like, and because that guy is going to see it, you know, like, oh crap, I better pony up.
Yeah. And I, you know, it's kind of similar to that. I will always set it up to where I'm trying to get a little bit more without kind of asking for it in a sense. But if there's an offer on the table that I kind of like, I will say, you know, I got multiple people looking at, you know, if I've put out a player on the block or I've mentioned a player is for sale and I get a couple offers to get more, I'll always say, if you want to get this deal, if I won't negotiate with anybody else if you just, you know, throw in, you know, X piece. And then typically speaking, it usually works. And then it's a done deal.
I agree. I like that one. That's a good one. So I've got one other trade strategy. I'm going to save mine for towards the end. So we're going to throw it back to Waylon to bring up one more of his.
This is my favorite one for sure. And it is playing with egos. We play this game for entertainment. And we think we're better than we are. Our egos, we're smarter than NFL teams. My rankings are better than everyone else's rankings, blah, blah, blah. So this is actually two strategies I'm going to kind of put together. One is, you know, and again, you have to check your ego too. But if you look at your team, you're like, I'm confident I'm going to be a really good team this year. Or I'm going to be better than this other guy. I offer up my first straight up for his first. Because right there, you're saying, hey, I think I'm better than you.
Swinging them dicks.
I think I'm better than you. And you have to know your owners. And if they're like, oh, yeah, I think I'm better than you too. Because if they say no, they're conceding that you're better than them. And they don't want to do that. And then the other strategy with that too is if it's somebody that you think you are better than and you think that they're going to say that, then I'll kick in a player with it too. I'll be like, hey, my first and this player who's decent or whatever for your first. And I've gotten those deals accepted multiple times in leagues.
Izzy, that's kind of in the same lane as your flip. I know probably are itching to talk about that one again because we haven't brought it up in a couple of years.
No, I do it all. I do it frequently. To Nick, what Nick said, I do it a lot. My greatest achievement was I played a guy in the championship. I beat him. The following year, I offered my first round pick for his first round pick. And Buck Allen.
Buck Allen. I was thinking Bernard Pierce. I couldn't remember the running back.
It was Buck Allen. It was a time where like there was rumors that he might be guy. Is the off season?
He caught some passes.
And
then wasn't he? Wasn't Buck Allen like the handcuff for his? Who was the starter at that point? I thought Buck Allen was the handcuff for whoever he had on his roster, which was one of the more alluring pieces.
Yes, it was another player. I don't know if it was like a one-to-one handcuff. I can't remember who the player was. But yes, he had interest in Buck because he had the other Ravens piece.
And he was guaranteeing himself a start.
Yeah, and I looked at his roster. I'm like, God, this team, he went on a nice run, but I don't think he's that strong. So I'm going to try to get his first. Well, I got his first. And fast forward to the end of the season, he ended up being the 101. So I got Zeke. So I turned my first into Buck Allen I think I might have gotten 111 that year. I didn't go back to back, but
10 man. But yeah, it was like
109. Oh yeah, it was like 109, 109 and Buck Allen for Zeke. So it was great.
That's harsh.
And then he's been. I don't think he's ever lived it down.
What year was Zeke a rookie?
2016.
Because you know what we should do just for the sake of showmanship. I want to find out who went like 109 or whatever, so we can like.
Well,
I don't think we've ever circled back to see.
Well, to fill that, I'll let you guys know. I just pulled one of these deals off, kind of. So there's I need to create a roster spot in one of my leagues, because my team's just really depth heavy, and so I've just been trying to figure out how I'm going to do that throughout this offseason. And what I did is I flipped Tylan Wallace, who I like, but he's probably the worst guy on my roster, I would say. And my first next year for another team's first, who they don't have a running back. They're going downhill. Their quarterback's Jared Goff in a 14-teamer. You know, I think they've been like a fringe playoff team for a couple of years, but I mean, they're just getting older. And his Devy next year. So I think I'm going to get a benefit of first, and I'm going to get a Devy, and I'm getting rid of a guy that I like, Tylan Wallace. And I knew he'd take it because he likes to play for the given year and doesn't like to wait on those picks. So again, that's knowing your owner and kind of doing that game.
I like it.
So interestingly enough, I pulled it up. Did you find it, Hurley?
I couldn't. I was struggling.
Yeah. So, the 109 that season was, Devontae Booker.
Oh,
you liked Devontae Booker.
I do. I did a lot. Ended up being the 109. What's funny is I also was able to acquire the 106, and I took Michael Thomas that year too. So that was a good draft for me. I was able to pull a really
slant route.
So he ended up, so I think he ended up trading my first, and he somehow got to 102. He must have moved up for 102. Yeah, he gave up Mike Wallace in 109. For Mark Ingram, and then he somehow got. Oh, then he gave up. I don't know. He somehow got the 103. I don't know where he got that from, but he gave up 103 and Jeff Janis for 102, and then he took Laquon Treadwell.
He took Treadwell.
Oh, no. No.
It was a tough year.
Oh no.
That's not good. Honestly, that was a smart play. I mean.
At the time.
A lot of Vikings fans at the time. Yeah. So it was like, it made sense. It's like, okay, Laquon Treadwell.
We can't. So maybe, hopefully he moved Treadwell. You know, I don't know if he did or not. I can't remember. Maybe he moved Treadwell before he busted. That'd be expert level.
Well, it was really tough for Treadwell to move, if we're being honest. Hopefully he took Diggs later, though.
No, but Hurley tried to take Diggs from him with a bad trade offer. But no, he did have Diggs, so he had them both. And I don't know, at one point I have to continue to go through. That's the best part of like these types of trades. Like, you can sit there and like cascade them down to where you can keep looking and digging and digging and digging.
Yep.
And you go down this rabbit hole and you're like, oh my God. And sometimes it works out great. Sometimes on the surface, the trade looks really good. And you're like, oh man, I won that trade. But then if you look at your next transaction, you realize, damn, I kind of, all the equity that I built up went to shit because I messed up my next trade.
Yeah.
You know? So like on the surface, it might look good, but in reality, you really didn't make much ground.
Yeah, but, I agree. That's a good one. I like that. And I got one more trade strategy. And like I said, Waylon's got a bunch prepared. So maybe we'll do that on a future show here, because we got to close up shop here. And we got some final thoughts with Nick Waylon at the end here. But my final trade strategy I discovered on accident. This has become my favorite one pretty quickly. It was a couple years ago, and I'm in an industry league with a guy named Travis May. You guys know him. I don't expect all of our listeners to know, but we were in a trade negotiation. He reached out to me asking if I'd be interested in parting ways with my Carson Wentz. And I'm like, yeah, if the price is right, you know, like the typical conversation, open a trade. And we were kind of going back and forth. His initial offer was like, he offered me a future first and a player for Carson Wentz. This is a 14-team super flex league where quarterbacks have crazy value. And that first, like, it wasn't very, it was like a mid first. So the offer wasn't very good. The upcoming draft for that season wasn't great. And this is, by the way, this is the year that Carson Wentz was like, going into it, everybody thought he might be the MVP this coming year. I think it was like 2018, you know? So Carson Wentz had some pretty significant value. Obviously, that's changed a little bit now. But anyway, so this is what happened next. Before I could even respond to his offering me a first and a middling player, he said, "You know what?" And Moshe, you're gonna have to bleep this out for me because I'm not gonna change my language. He said, "You know what? F*** it. I'm gonna give you two firsts and the player. I just want to get this done. I don't want to mess around." And it's kind of like Izzy's thing. Izzy wants to be efficient with his trades. Doesn't want to waste time. Well, Travis is kind of unintentionally making this trade strategy that I call the fuck it trade strategy. And he says, "I just want to get this done. Here you go. Here's this pick." So now when I go into trade negotiations and I kind of feel like the setting is right for this trade strategy, I'll kind of like offer something kind of good that like I know it's probably going to be thrown down. And then I'll be like, "You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to throw in an extra second just to get this done. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I just want to make a trade and move on." And more often than not, like with a high success rate, the trades are getting done. And it's because of like philosophically or mentally, like the people are like, "This guy's like giving up on this player, on this trade. I should take this because he's selling the farm." You know, it's like it completely flips the trade's mentality for some reason. And they buy it. It's like an instant accept. I've never had any issues with that one. I love it. What do you guys think?
Yep, I've done that too. I mean, you do a lot of posturing. I'll give you credit for that.
Fuck it.
I mean, it's like a used car salesman. You know what I mean? It's like, "Oh, this is what it would be, but I'm going to give it to you for this. I just want to get off my lot."
Yeah, what the hell? We need to get rid of this. Yep. Yeah. We need to get rid of this Carson Wentz.
you know, kind of leading to this, I would love to be a fly on the wall in like GM's offices. I would love to find out how actually goes down in NFL circles. Like, do they actually have like these trade strategies that they try to pull off deals? I mean, NFL trades don't go down as often as they do in Dynasty, obviously, but we see some trades that are just so bad. We look and be like, "How does this get done?"
Well, you saw Draft Day. Come on, Kevin Costner. That's how they do it.
There you go. Yeah, that's exactly how it is. This is brilliant, by the way. In the era of selling digital moments like NBA Top Shot and like these NFTs, how much money do you think a front office could sell? Like, we're going to give away our DeAndre Hopkins trade negotiation with Arizona Cardinals. We're going to sell this on the open market. How much do you think the Houston could sell that trade negotiation, that digital trade negotiation soundbite for?
So then... Oh yeah! Oh, just the soundbite, just to hear the entire conversation.
Yeah, they would sell the phone call, the entire conversation. How much do you think they could sell that for? You know,
yeah,
millions.
Probably a pretty good amount.
Dude, people would pay through the teeth
for that.
Well, dude,
not only people would pay, other NFL teams would pay just to find out. You know what I mean?
How did you pull that over on Houston? How do I get a trade for DeAndre Hopkins like from Houston?
Well, step one, bring Bill O'Brien back.
Bill O'Brien must be the guy that like he by accident adds to his side.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't realize. Like, he's like input. He's offering the trade it. Wrong. Like you go to NFL and you like input the picks and you like you do it on the wrong side.
He fat fingered the trade offer for Hopkins. That's priceless.
You think Goodell looked at that. He's like, wait, do I need to revoke this? I think this is collusion for the league. You know, hey.
Oh shit! They already accepted it.
Or think of how famous would this have been? And this is going to hit close to home. Sorry guys, but the Herschel Walker trade. Think of hearing the negotiations for that one.
Oh
yeah,
the Vikings built a dynasty. They just built it on the wrong team.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. They had the right idea.
Well, that's all we got. I think that's pretty good we got a very, very all-encompassing Aaron Jones conversation. Lots of trade strategies. Like I said, we might bring some more up on future episodes because those are just so fun to talk about. And they just kind of keep coming, you know, like just Waylon's eyes opened wide when I said that. They just kind of keep coming like organically as we keep discussing. You just kind of think of more of them. So it's kind of cool. But that's all we got for this week. We've got to wrap things up with Nick Whalen's final thoughts. Should I set the mood here?
It's final thoughts with Nick Whalen.
It's final thoughts with Nick Whalen, says Izzy. So go in the back part of your closet where you put away all your college supplies, like just from way back when you're in college, pull out that incense burner, put on your favorite one, light it, take a deep sniff. Now lean back. If you got a recliner, pull that lever, kick your feet up, and listen, because it's time for Final Thoughts with Nick Whalen.
So draft season's coming up, and we have a lot of opinions, rankings, analytics versus film, etc. The one thing that I'm aware of, I've enjoyed Clubhouse. It's a new app if you guys haven't heard of it. There's been really good conversation on there where I've been learning from other people, but you need to be really cognizant of the information that you're taking in, and it's important to make sure you're taking in information that isn't confirming what you know. Make sure it's information that you're learning from other people, other opinions, other rankings, other ideas, because I think that's only going to help enhance how you have your final rankings, or you're going to, you know, conduct your trades like we talked about today, etc. I think it's really important to bring in outside thoughts. So that's what I got.
I love it, man. I love it. Expand yourself. And that's all we got for this week's episode of Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, the greatest and best Dynasty podcast in the world tribute. Thank you for listening. Catch us next week. We'll talk to you later. Bye. Gotta make another trade for Sunday. Can't wait. Not enough bait. Frost on my opponent's gonna call and cut cakes in. It's no hate, just facts. There's just no way. I'm last. Technically, I'm last. 101 pick. I'm bad.